This is Half a Dozen Laconic Bastards. A Stargate Atlantis, White Collar, Eureka, Teen Titans, Torchwood crossover fic. Written by Sam Storyteller and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG and was beta'd by Girl Pearl and Juniper 200. Author's notes. I'm aware the timing does not work in the slightest. If that's what you're hung up on, you're in for trouble, because this is a dumb fanfic. I mean, it's really dumb. I can't believe I squeezed almost 5,000 words out of an idea this ridiculous. So don't say you weren't warned. This fanfic, rated D for dumb. Rodney McKay crossed his arms and stared at the trio of young men standing in the infirmary. "Is this at all weird for you?" he asked Shepard, who was lounging against a bed nearby.
"Not especially," Shepard answered.
But then, Shepard's definition of weird had grown more and more specific the longer they'd spent in Atlantis.
"That one's gotta be 30," Rodney pointed out. "Have you been lying about your age?"
"Keller says it's metacloning," Shepard replied, eyes on the eldest of the three. "It's sciency. They've been doing blood draws on me for ATA for a long time, way before I knew I had the gene. I guess he was one of the first successful ones."
"So you never knew his mother?"
"I never knew their mothers," Shepard replied.
He looked so relaxed about this. Like finding out you were the stud of an ATA breeding program without your prior knowledge was just something that happened once in a while.
The oldest, Neil, was taller than the others. He'd already been assessed and assigned into the new exploration team as a diplomatic adjunct, and had his nose buried in one of Rodney's Stargate Travel for Idiots manuals. The other two were mostly of a height, though not much alike in other respects. Zane Donovan, who'd actually written some not entirely moronic papers on the Rensian wormhole theory, and Tim something or other. Duck? Drake? Who was apparently an acrobat.
An acrobat!
Then again, Neil and Zane both had extensive criminal records, so Rodney supposed everyone had their crosses to bear. The three men. Well, Tim was still a teen, really, and Rodney had interacted enough with the other two to diagnose them as fundamentally emotionally stunted. Not that this was a surprise, given who their father was. At any rate, the three of them did share a handful of characteristics. Narrow and reasonably intelligent faces, unruly dark hair, managed a little better in Neil's case, a certain slow drawl. Zane looked most like his father, but the designer's stubble wasn't really working for him. Rodney caught Zane staring at him. He squared his jaw and stared back. When Keller came over to them, Zane trailed in her wake. Neil was busy roughhousing with Tim. "Well, all three of them are healthy, reasonably nice guys, and definitely your sons," Keller said to Shepard, who grinned. "I think this whole situation is incredibly disturbing, but they won't make a bad addition to Atlantis. A team of little shepherds," she added, glancing over her shoulder at Neil and Tim, while Zane hovered around McKay like he wanted to ask if he could have his autograph. Neil's an ideal diplomat, and Tim... She paused and looked back again, as a pained yelp cut across the room. Tim, half Neil's height and probably a third of his weight, had the older man pinned to the floor and was ordering him to say uncle. "Tim's a deceptively good bodyguard," she said. "And Zane here..."
"When do I get to look at a Stargate?"
Zane blurted.
Rodney blinked at him. "Seriously, I have a zillion questions. How do you factor in for electron fluctuations during the inception event on the negative polarized gate? We can't even arrange that with non-Lorentzian wormhole effects back home.
He's obviously a qualified physicist, Keller finished.
Zane, Shepard said. The young man looked at him.
You just met your brothers. Play nice and be patient. You don't want Dr. McKay to think you have no manners, do you?
Are you scared of Dad Shepard? Keller whispered to Rodney.
Not a little bit,
Rodney whispered back. Zane crossed his arms defiantly.
You can't make me.
Zane, Shepard said sharply.
Go behave, or you can't talk to Dr. McKay.
Zane, deflated, walked back to where Neil and Tim were now sitting on the floor discussing lockpicking techniques.
You just have to be firm with them, Shepard said. So, do we have another little me clone running around to play leader, or do I get to take the boys out in the field?
Well, Keller checked her data pad. There are two more coming in from the international branch.
I can't believe we have an international branch of the John Shepherd's Test Tube Baby Association.
Excuse me, someone said from the doorway. I'm looking for Dr. Keller. The man who had spoken was young. He looked out of place in Atlantis, in his three-piece suit and a vivid pink shirt. And he spoke with an almost lilting accent. Next to him stood a slightly shorter woman, wearing an awful lot of leather. Both of them had the trademark shepherd hair, though the woman's was rather more orderly than her companion's. Rodney gaped.
That's me, Keller said, beaming. You must be the last two we were expecting.
Your daughter is hot, Rodney whispered to Shepard.
Touch her and I'll cut off your arm, Shepard answered.
Gwen Cooper, the woman said, offering Keller her hand. She had the same accent as the man had, at least as far as Rodney could tell. This is Yanto Jones.
Hello, kids, Shepard drawled.
He looked way too entertained by all this.
Come meet the family.
Jesus Christ, that's a big gun, Neil said, staring at the P-90 Shepard was holding.
How do you walk with a gun that big?
You think you're funny, but you're not, Rodney told him.
Seriously, no, that's a big gun, and mean guns don't get along well. Even little guns,
Neil continued, but he winked at Rodney. They were standing on the firing range, the Shepard kids in a loose and semi-disinterested crowd around Shepard, who was trying to demonstrate basic firearm safety.
You have to carry a gun, Neil, Gwen said.
You aren't the boss of me. I'm oldest, Neil told her.
And so very mature, Yanto drawled.
Kids, Shepard said, in almost precisely the same tone.
Yanto glanced at him, clearly unsettled.
Neil, take the gun.
Neil stepped forward, reluctant, and took the P-90 out of Shepard's hands. Before the other man could give him an order, he dropped the magazine, checked it, reloaded it, cleared the barrel, pulled the safety, taken aim, and fired. The target showed a dead center hit. Neil popped the safety back on and offered it back.
Shepard's eyebrows were somewhere around his hairline. Even Yanto, the best poker face of the group, looked vaguely impressed.
Chip off the old block, Neil said dryly.
Watch it, Shepard warned him. Zane had authority issues, huge authority issues, but they were generalized and universally applied.
Neil's authority issues had a certain laser-like focus, and at the moment, they were all heaped on Shepard. Okay, hands up everyone who's already had weapons training in a previous career. Every hand went up, except Zane's. Zane looked mildly embarrassed. Right, Shepard said, and tossed the P90 to Yanto. Train him. Zane, you're a genius, so if you stall, I'll know. Yes, sir, Yanto said, looking pleased, and hauled Zane off to another target booth. Shepard crossed his arms. I really don't like guns, Neil said. Why? Gwen asked. Guns are brilliant. Are you sure we're related? Neil asked Shepard, who rubbed his forehead. Fine, okay, Shepard said. Neil, go find Taylor. If she clears you in hand-to-hand... Hand-to-hand? Neil exclaimed. What the hell kind of place are you running here? You need it, Tim said. It's way too easy to kick your ass. I prefer not to be in situations where my ass is likely to get kicked. Rodney patted Shepard's shoulder as the other man covered his eyes with one hand. Parenthood is full of challenges, he said sympathetically. After Rodney kicked Zane out of his lab that afternoon for being an overgrown puppy who couldn't stop touching stuff, he caught Zelenka laughing at him. What? He demanded, and Zelenka composed himself hurriedly. No, nothing, Zelenka said. You think it's funny there are now 6 shepherds running around poking my experiments? Rodney asked. No, I swear, it's just little thing, Zelenka insisted. Rodney glared. Zelenka started to laugh again. You are fired from the Pegasus Galaxy, Rodney told him. Okay, all right, I will tell you, Zelenka said, still suppressing the odd giggle. I just think it's nice, you know, they have mother and father here on Atlantis. They what? Rodney asked. You have not noticed? Zelenka raised his eyebrows. All of them, they have your eyes. Rodney looked at him, horrified. No, they don't! Is true. Is empirical evidence, Rodney. All of them. Blue eyes. Zelenka grinned. Not Colonel Shepard's eyes, I know. You look after them when he is not around. That's probably just some byproduct of the process. Really? Cloning? It makes blue eyes? I think not. No, is useful. Very Darwinian, Zelenka continued. Baby looks like mother. Mother does not strangle child when it is annoying. Funny, you have blue eyes, and I feel like I could strangle you pretty easily, Rodney said. My advice is, do not spoil them, Zelenka told him gravely. Can cause many problems in relationships, parents at odds over child-rearing. Out! Rodney yelled. Zelenka strolled calmly to the door. I am not Mommy Shepherd! We see, Zelenka yelled back from the hallway. Good afternoon, Mother McKay. Dinner was a fascinating affair. People stared and whispered. Shepard, looking weary, led the string of dark-haired newcomers down the food line. They were all in the standard Atlantis uniform, some much more comfortable in it than others. Neil wore his like he was made for it, but Yanto seemed like he was yearning for a suit. And Tim didn't look like he was entirely comfortable with pants. So, Neil said, when they were all seated.
Shepard and Rodney exchanged a look. Wales, huh?
Cardiff, Gwen replied, as Ianto made a pained noise after sipping his coffee.
Technically, we were both born in Newport. Worked together for a while before coming here. Small world, eh?
This coffee is... Ianto looked like he didn't know a word bad enough.
Zane was already halfway through his cup. So, what did you do before the terrifying secret government agents showed up on your doorstep to tell you you were a freaky half-clone?
Neil asked.
We were terrifying secret government agents, Ianto said.
Really?
Tin asked. Were you villains?
No, I don't think we were villains exactly, Gwen said. We had a brilliant lair, though. You?
My lair was awesome,
Tim said, beaming.
Both of them, actually. What about you, Zane?
I more had a laboratory than a lair, Zane mused. I mean, it was top secret and all, but government-funded, which kind of takes the fun out.
Neil?
Gwen prompted.
Neil gave them a grin.
Wouldn't you like to know?
He said. And Tim threw a bread roll at him.
Fine, fine. No, I didn't have a lair or a lab. I had a loft.
A loft, Gwen repeated.
Yeah, you know, a big open-plan apartment,
Neil said, and then noticed everyone was looking at him funny.
What?
No secret supercomputers?
Tim asked.
Hey, you had one too? Zane said.
Ours was an AI, Ianto put in.
I had a Dell, Neil said weakly.
Did you have a mascot? Ianto asked.
Gwen elbowed him.
What? You just want to brag about the Pteranodon, she said.
That's a pretty cool mascot, Zane observed.
There was this pug, Neil said.
Quit while you're ahead, Shepard told him kindly.
I'm trying, Neil said, through gritted teeth.
Did you fight crime?
Tim continued.
Yes, yes, I did some of that, Neil said, a little more thoughtful now.
So pretty much all of us are in, and I use the term very loosely, law enforcement of some kind?
Scientist, Zane said, putting up his hand.
Clearly the black sheep of the family,
Neil replied. But he ruffled Zane's hair and ducked when Zane tried to retaliate.
The hair!
Zane, don't mess with your brother's style, Shepard said, without looking up from his meal.
He started it, Zane sulked.
In this family, Shepard announced, sitting back, we have three rules. No messing with the style, no mouthing off to Dad, and no leaving each other behind to get eaten by alien vampires. Is that understood?
Yes, sir,
they chorused.
I could get used to this,
Shepard said to Rodney.
Did you get your uniform tailored?
Rodney asked Neil the next day, when Neil showed up for breakfast with Ianto and Gwen in tow.
Where did you find a tailor on Atlantis?
I'm very good with a needle, Ianto answered for him.
That's my boys,
Shepard said proudly. Their first mission out on their own, without Rodney and Shepard looking after them. Shepard pretended he didn't care at all. Rodney saw through it. But this was all Shepard's fault for being so very Shepardian and passing that trait on. He had no sympathy. The five of them came back through the gate hot, Zane and Neil half carrying Ianto, Gwen and Tim staggering through together, all of them laughing and covered with green goo. Shepherd descended the stairs slowly. The laughter ceased. "What did you do?" he asked, sweeping them all from head to foot.
"His fault,"
Neil and Zane said simultaneously, pointing at each other.
"You picked the chief's pocket," Zane said hotly.
"Only because I saw them about to handcuff you for hitting on his son," Neil retorted.
Gwen, from behind them, knocked their heads together, which made them both let go of Yanto. He was rescued from a tumble to the ground by Keller, who eased him onto a gurney.
"He's drugged," Tim said. "He'll be fine."
"I wasn't hitting on his son," Zane protested.
"Ow, Gwen, that hurt!"
Shepherd crossed his arms. They all looked at one another. "It's paint," Gwen said, holding up a green-streaked hand.
"I can't wait to hear this story," Shepherd drawled.
"But," Zane added, "we did get..."
He checked his pockets. A look of dismay crossed his face.
"This," Neil said smoothly, holding up a small piece of technology. It glowed in his fingers. "Happy Father's Day," he added, and tossed it to Shepherd, who caught it and passed it to Rodney.
"Oh," Rodney said, examining it. "It's a data crystal. Be right back, unlocking the mysteries of the ancients," he said, and hurried away.
"I don't want to be leader anymore," Gwen announced. "My brothers are wankers."
"You should have met Sherlock," Rodney called.
"Sherlock?" Gwen asked.
"He failed the psych exam," Shepherd said shortly.
"These are the ones who passed?" Gwen asked.
"Not all of them aced it," Shepherd admitted. "You think any of them other than Yanto are qualified to do your job?" he added sternly. Gwen made a face.
"That's right. So you and Yanto get to be leaders. Run along and clean up."
"I'm going to see what Rodney pulled off the crystal," Zane declared, and Shepherd caught him by the ear as he passed.
"Ow! Ow! Ow! Ow!"
"Wash first. You're not getting green paint all over Rodney's lab," Shepherd ordered, releasing him.
"Neil?"
"Why do I have to babysit Zane?" Neil asked.
"You're the oldest, and Tim might beat him up," Shepherd replied. "Make sure he scrubs behind his ears."
"I'm gonna have to save your ass every single time, huh?"
Neil asked, as he and Zane disappeared into the hallway. Tim was already halfway to the showers. Gwen was still looking annoyed, standing in the middle of the gate room floor.
"Hey, everybody came back alive," Shepherd told her. "Call it a win."
"I had better get a pony for Christmas," Gwen muttered,
and stalked off. Samantha Carter came down the stairs to where Shepherd was standing, matching his pose. Arms crossed, staring at the gate contemplatively.
"You seem to be handling the dad thing well," she said.
"They're all mentally 12, he replied.
"So you connect on their level?"
"Funny, Carter," Shepherd drawled.
"Are you disturbed yet?"
"Super disturbed. I need a drink," he said, and headed for Zelenka's lab, where the scientists kept a secret vodka still in one of the cabinets.
Their 10th week in Atlantis, having been more or less at each other's throats for the entire time, Neil and Zane combined forces to steal a jumper and hijack the gate. It wasn't Neil's usual style, Shepherd thought, as he stood in the gate room and tried to decide what to do. Zane was self-destructive,
or maybe just screaming for someone to kick his ass to show they cared. But Neil didn't like to commit crimes where he knew there would be repercussions. Then again, Shepard could understand the temptation of gating out to a planet where the inhabitants had achieved a 17th century level of technology and were applying all their passions and abilities toward fresco painting. Neil had fallen in love just from the report, and objected loudly when their team wasn't chosen for the exploration mission. And really, using a jumper was the one surefire way to get through an illegal gate jump safely. And you couldn't steal a jumper and run a DHD and avoid security on your own. You needed a wheelman. Plus, under poor impulse control in the dictionary, there was a picture of Zane Donovan and Neil Caffrey. "So," Gwen said, walking into the gate room, kitted out for a mission. "Point us after the bad boys." "Excuse me?" Shepard asked mildly. Yanto appeared behind her, carrying a toolkit. "Retrieval," Gwen said. "We'll go dismember them and bring them home."
"You can't dismember them, I have dibs," Shepard told her.
"Fine, we'll just maim them," Yanto said, checking through the kit. "I'd be willing to bet if you lot had stuck with the Welsh when you were cloning the Colonel, this never would have happened," he added, "to nobody in particular. We're famous for our even tempers and delicious vowels, you know."
"And you're an ornament to Atlantis, but are you sure it should be you guys going?" Shepard asked, as Tim joined them.
"Our family, our problem," Gwen said firmly.
Shepard had been sure, at first, that Neil and Zane's wildness was a matter of nurture over nature, until he realized Tim was not the most self-controlled young man, either. After Rodney pointed out a few of his own life-alteringly bad decisions, he'd been forced to admit that Gwen and Yanto probably had something to the thesis that what the Shepherd line needed, at the end of the day, was more Welsh.
"Where do you think you're going?" Shepherd asked, turning away from Gwen as Rodney emerged from the hallway in his mission uniform.
"With them?"
Rodney said, as if this should be obvious.
"Why?"
Shepard asked.
Because if you go, that reinforces parental attention for bad behavior, and people should share equally in disciplining the children, and frankly, I'm better at yelling at people than you are,"
Rodney said, absently checking his rifle. Everyone stared at him.
"What? I've been reading parenting books."
"This is so wrong, so many ways,"
Shepard muttered,
but he waved them on.
Go on. Kick their asses, drag them home."
When they arrived home again, Tim and Gwen each had a black eye. Zane was wearing some kind of loose, romantic fashion shirt. Yanto was carrying a small sack. And Neil was covered in wet plaster and paint and beaming happily.
Rodney didn't even stop yelling at them as they passed through the gate.
Shepard crossed his arms.
"What happened this time?"
"Duel,"
Tim said.
"Overzealous artist wanted me to sit for a nude,"
Gwen added.
"This is awesome!"
Zane waved a frilly sleeve.
"Coffee,"
Yanto sighed. "True fresco is the test of any artist," Neil declared.
Rodney just looked at him wearily. "You two,"
Shepard said, pointing at Neil and Zane.
"Grounded for a month."
"Worth it,"
Zane sing-songed. And Neil smacked him on the back of the head as they walked out.
Shepard sighed. "Yanto, go look after Gwen and Tim. Tim, what have I told you about dueling?"
Only if it's a matter of life and death, and never over the honor of a woman who can duel for herself if she's that upset about it, Tim recited.
As Gwen has proved, Shepard pointed out.
Tim nodded and trooped out after Gwen and Yanto.
Shepard sighed and lowered himself to the gate room steps.
So being the disciplinarian sucks, Rodney told him, joining him on the steps.
Welcome to my world. Got any ideas about how to fix Neil and Zane?
Prefrontal lobotomy, Rodney suggested.
That seems radical, Shepard replied.
What is up with them anyway? Why can't they just be cool?
Maybe they need more Johnny Cash, Rodney drawled.
What about your parenting books?
Pretty much full of subjectivist fad pop psych bullcrap, Rodney said. But I think Neil and Zane are doing what's known as testing limits. I find it totally unsurprising that the offspring of John Shepard have trust issues.
I do not have trust issues, Shepard replied. I just think most people are probably up to something.
Look at it this way. At least now they're working together to try and get themselves killed, instead of trying to kill each other, Rodney said. In my family, that's known as significant progress.
It generally took some time for arriving staff to settle into Atlantis and learn its little quirks. Sooner or later, someone always asked about Exploration Team 5S.
What's their story? Dr. Dougal asked. The other biologists at his table looked at him and grinned. You don't know about 5S? Monroe said. What makes you think they have a story?
Well, look at them, Dougal replied,
as a roar of laughter burst from the table where 5S were eating with Shepard and McKay.
Everyone learned about Shepard and McKay pretty quickly. They're like, are they siblings?
Half, Peterson put in. They're Shepard's kids.
He gets around, Dougal observed. He doesn't look old enough to have 5 kids.
It ages you before your time, Monroe agreed sagely.
They're good, though. Shepard keeps them in line.
Yeah, Donovan hasn't stolen anything in almost 2 months, Peterson said.
Stolen anything? Dougal asked.
Monroe and Peterson exchanged glances.
Here in Atlantis, we value lateral thinking, Peter said, mock officiously.
Nobody thinks more laterally than John Shepard's kids. Trust me.
The end. End notes. This fanfic is a concrete illustration of the grand unified theory of hair. Actually, it arose out of the idea that Zane and Neil share criminal proclivities, and that Zane's hair is well-nigh identical to John Shepard's, as is Tim Drake's in Teen Titans. And if you've got Neil the diplomat, Tim the muscle, and Zane the physicist, you've almost got a complete SGA exploration team. There never really was any plot to it. It's more of an exploration of a situation, but then most crossovers are. It was fun anyway.